Today's daf is daf Kufkof Beis. We're holding on the bottom of Kufkof Aleph Amud Beis, and one line up from the top, the final word. Ibailo. Eretz Yisrael, Shvatim Iplug, Odim Lekakaf Gavri Iplug. When Eretz Yisrael was it divided into 12 equal sections? One for every Shevet, and then they went ahead and divided it according to the number of people, either the ones who left Mitzrayim, Alib the Rabbi Yoshia, or the ones who came into Eretz Yisrael, Alib the Rabbi Yonasan, or both, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But first we have to decide, did the land first go to the Shevet and then go to the individuals, or was it first divided according to the number of people, the number of heads, Karkaf Gavri? And then, after dividing one to each person, the chelek of the shevet included the number of heads that were in that shevet. Well, l'chori, you could bring a raya from the simple pasuk Tashma. It says, "Al pi hagoral techalek nachalato bein rav lima'at." So, if you're saying bein rav lima'at, it's mashma that there was more for some than for others. And if that's true, then it has to be first given according to the Shevet the same amount, and then depending on how many people were in that Shevet, it was divided, because otherwise there's no Rav or Ma'at, since every single one would have been exactly the same. So it can't be that it was given the Kafaf to the Gavre. Furthermore, V'yotanya, Atidai Eretz Yisrael shetitchalek l'shosha asar shvatim. Ultimately, Eretz Yisrael, when Mashiach comes, will be divided into 13 separate pieces. Shebatchila lo nitchalkel l'shem asar shvatim. Originally, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, there were only 12, because Levi was not included. And so Menashe and Ephraim, being two, made 12. And what's more, originally, even lo nitchalkel b'kesef, it was only divided by paying money to those who had to give up getting a more valuable chelek. And this we're going to discuss what that could possibly mean. Shenemar bein rav lema'at. That means that you have paid the difference between a chelek that was worth more and a chelek that was worth less. So if that's the case, what we're assuming now, that the individuals inside each shevet were given the same size. And therefore, if it's the same size, it wouldn't have been the same value. And therefore, you'll have to pay the difference. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Sa'ab Yehuda, Shava Chamesh Sa'in Begalil. One Sa'a of land in Yehuda is worth 5 Sa'a of land in the Galil. So, now this could be an example, so that unless you'd have to pay the difference to somebody who received now his chelek in the Galil from someone who received his chelek instead in Yehuda, so he would have to pay the difference to the guy in the Galil. And he's just simply coming, obviously not to be chelek under the Tanakhama, because if it were chelek, you always say not Omer Rav Yehuda, but you say Rav Yehuda Omer. So that's what we're assuming, and we're going to get into this in a moment. Furthermore, v'lo nitchalkal, originally the division was only al pi agoral, so it was ela begoral, shenemar ach begoral. Furthermore, even though this sounds like a contradiction, v'lo nitchalkal ela b'urim v'tumim, it needed the urim v'tumim, shenemar a P Hagoral. So if there was a P, then somebody had to be speaking. It meant that the Kohen Gadol was speaking according to what the Urim V'Tumim was telling him to say. How is that possible? Haketzad, isn't that? I mean, that's a contradiction. Either it was Api Goral, it was Api Urim V'Tumim. No, it's actually no contradiction. Elazar the Kohen Gadol is Melubash Urim V'Tumim. He's wearing his Urim V'Tumim, and Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael omdim lefanav, v'kalpi shel shvatim, v'kalpi shel tchumim, murakim lefanav. So he's got a box in front of him. Now, with all of the Shvatim's names, so there's 12 different lots in it, and he's got a box that has 12 Tchumim of Eretz Yisrael. And now Elazar was Merkavin Beruach HaKadosh through the Urim V'Tumim. The Omer, and he would say, for instance, okay, next, in the next lottery, Zvulun will be the one that is going to end up being chosen. And the area that will come up for his chelek is the Tchum Akko from the other box. He would then be Toraf Bekalpi Shel Shvatim, whoever now was going to be taking out, Toraf means without being Bechav, in other words, make a mess as he goes in there, so that it ends up being mixed when he puts in his hand. So that way nobody could suspect that he's doing this in a way that he already had some way of feeling or cheating. So it was Toraf Bekalpi Shel Shvatim, he stirred it up and takes out the name. And sure enough, Alabi Ador Zevulun. And then he did the same thing, mixing up the copy of the Trumin, grabbed one, the Alabi Ador Trumako, and sure enough, up came the Trumako, so that it actually matched. It's a little bit weird, because Zevulun doesn't get Akko. Actually, Asher gets Akko. So it could be that it's a mistake. It could be it doesn't mean Akko Mamish, it means Trumako, like Tosfos says. Okay, then he would say again, Chozer b'chavim b'ruach ha-kodesh, v'yomer Naftali yoleh. Next one up is going to be Naftali. Tchum ginosar olayima. Together with him is going to come up the area of the ginosar. Yeronei yamekiner. Torah b'kal b'shal shvatim. Then, once again, stir it up, slam in your hand. V'alo b'yada Naftali. Torah b'kal b'shal tchumim. Then the same thing happens. And once again, v'alo b'yada tchum ginosar. This was done again for every single shevet. We would hear who was going to come up and what chum was going to be Eile Imai. So that means that we have indeed Ach Begoral, but it would be Alpi. So there's going to be an announcement, but the actual determination will be with the Goral itself. Now, the things, however, at the time that Mashiach will do the Chalukah are very different than the Chalukah in this world, meaning in this time, doesn't mean Olam Haba, it means Olam Haba in terms of Zman HaMashiach. So, lo kechalukah shel Olam Hazeh, Chalukah shel Olam Haba, at the time of the Chalukah that will be done by the Melech HaMashiach, it will be different. Because HaOlam Hazeh, Adam yesh lo sedeh lavan, en lo sedeh pardes. Obviously, we weren't able to split it up in such a way that a person could have every different type of land. Someone has a sedeh lavan, means a field for grain. He wouldn't have had an orchard. If he has sedeh pardes, if he has a field for trees, so then en lo sedeh lavan. He's gonna bederech klal, have only one type of thing. But l'olam haba, everyone will be mechuvan to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael that will get every variety of land in Eretz Yisrael. Ein lecha kol echad v'echad she'ein lo bahar u'bashvila v'emek. Everyone will have something on a mountain. Everyone will have something in the flatlands, in the valleys. She'nemar sha'ar u'vein echad, sha'ar Yehuda echad, sha'ar Levi echad. We're dashing over here, actually. It's a little bit strange because we're darshaning really the names of the gates that come out of Yerushalayim. But we're using it as a drasha that everyone will have the same type of shar. So that what we're talking about over here, if the shevet has echad ke'echad, we're assuming that so too the yechidim have echad ke'echad. And not only that, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechalek land ba'atzmo. It won't be. I'll be the Urim V'Tumim. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Shenemar, Ve'ela, Machlekotam, Ne'um Hashem. This is the chelik that they're getting, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, directly. So that means that there will be Nevi'im who will tell each Shevet what it is that will be given. But in any event, going back now to the Braita, Katani Miyad, Shebetchila lo nitchake el shneim asar shvatim. At the time of Yoshua, Eretz Yisrael was split 12 ways. So, Akhar, you see from here, Shema Amina, the Shvatim Ifluk. Appears from here that it was given, split according to the number of ways. It was split according to the number of Shvatim, and not according to the number of people that were in the Shevet. Shema Amina. Indeed, that's a riot. Getting back into this bride. Omar Mar, you said, Atidar Eretz Yisrael shetitchalek l'shlosha asar shvatim. Who is the extra chelik to? Idach Laman. Lamaisa, it seems rather clear, because Shevet Levi does have a chelik. However, Menashe and Ephraim end up becoming only Shevet Yosef. So that means we're still at 12. So how did we get exactly 13? Who is the 13th one for? Omer of Chista Lanasi. It goes to the Melech HaMashiach. Dichsiv Ve'ha'oved ha'ir yavdu mikol shiftei Yisrael. The one who works for Yerushalayim, for the city. That's the Melech HaMashiach, because he's an Eved to his Am, as every Melech is. He will be served by all of the various Shvatim. In other words, all of them will give some of their land. Our mother of Papa Labaya, who says that it means land, Ema Rungar Bayalma, maybe it means that each one will give him somebody to take care of his clothes and his floor. But who's to say it's referring to real estate? Lo Salkadaita. That's for sure not possible. Dechtiv. V'hanotar lanasi mizeh u mizeh l'trumat hakodesh v'la'achuzat ha'ir that the left over from the chelik of the shevet, from that chelik of that shevet, that goes to the nasi. Other than the chelik that it comes out in the middle of the chelik of the nasi, which is for the kedesh, for the actual Beis HaMikdash, and for Yerushalayim, for the kedushas Yerushalayim. So memela, that means that everyone is going to get a little bit less than he would have in order to give another chelik to the nasi that there will be shlosh esrei chalak. The next thing you said in the brayta was that velo nitchaka l'kesafim shneimar bein rav lema'at. So you need to give some kind of compensation to pay the money between somebody who has a more valuable chelik and someone who has a less valuable chelik. Says the Gemara, less valuable in terms of what? Lamai. I mean, if you're talking about ilema l'shufra v'sanya, what, the difference between the quality of land? So we're gonna give some people poor quality nachala, but we'll make up for it with a one-time payment. I mean, you gotta be crazy. We're dealing with Mishagoyim, that they would take now forever a nachala of poor quality because they're getting a one-time payment. It makes no sense at all. I mean, obviously we'd have to make up for the poor quality by using more land. So let's say we would give five times as much land in the Galil than we would from the equivalent amount in Yehuda. But then we're back to the same problem, because if everything is worth the same, so then why are we saying Ben Rav Lema'at is supposed to be paid the difference in terms of money? So again, we don't have an answer. Ella, location, location, location. Lekrova urchoka. The difference over here was how close the land was to Yerushalayim. So first of all, everybody wants to be near Yerushalayim because it's going to take so long to do Aliyah L'Regel. Furthermore, if you're closer to the outside borders, so then you're going to be more open to attack from enemy. So Memela, if this is true, then that means when Rabbi Yehuda said the difference between the land of the Galil and the land in Yehuda, it was really not referring necessarily to what we said before. So we could say that Enochinam, Rabbi Yehuda is just saying, land in Yehuda is worth far more. So maybe you would give him more land. It had nothing to do with what the Tanakhama said. Unless that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about. Rabbi Yehuda is referring to land in Yehuda not being better land, but location, location. In other words, since Yehuda is the center, so people would pay more for land in Yehuda than they would for land in the Galil. So Mimela, you would have to pay the difference, even though the Etzem land ended up being the same in terms of its productivity, but because the location is a chelik of the real estate value, so the difference of the real estate value needed to be paid. Lemaisa, it's not necessarily true that it needed to be paid in cash. We said kesef, but the truth is that itself is about chlokes tanoi, kitanoi. Rabbi Eliezer omer b'ksafim elu. Rabbi Eliezer says indeed, like our brayta, that the difference was in money. But Rabbi Yehoshua omer b'karka elu, that actually they made up the difference by giving more real estate. So there is compensation, yes, but the question is whether that compensation was in terms of cash or the compensation was in terms of yet additional real estate. Okay, then the next thing you said in the Braita was Volonit Kalka, Ela Begoral, Shenemar, Ach Begoral. Now the Lashon Ach, of course, is a little bit strange because Ach is a mute only. So what is it indeed coming to be Mamayat Tana, the Braita? Tana said, Ach Begoral means to be Mamayit Yehoshua V'Kalev. Yotzer Yehoshua V'Kalev, that they themselves did not get Begoral. In terms of what? Lamai. That they didn't get it all? Yehoshua V'Kalev Klal. I mean, that's ridiculous. Because, I mean, certainly they did receive, I mean, a chelek. We're talking about over here a chelek in terms of their shevet. But they certainly must have, because, I mean, Hashtad Lavdi Du Shokul, if they took the land of the Meraglim, and it wasn't even theirs, I mean, it belonged to somebody else, and they took it. So is there any shaila that they should get their own chelek? Didumi, boy, you're telling me that Yehoshua and Kalev didn't have a right to a chelek in their own shevet? Ela Shalom Natu Begoral. The point of here is that they didn't take Begoral. Instead, they took directly Al Pi Hashem. How do we know? Yehoshua dechtiv, al pi Hashem natnu lo et ha'ir asher sha'al. It says that they gave to Yehoshua, al pi Hashem, the city that he had requested, which is Timnat Serach Bahar Ephraim. That was Yehoshua's personal city. Wait a minute, did you say Timnat Serach? I thought it says Timnat Cheres. In Shoftim it talks about that city, and it seems to reverse the otiot. Omer Abelazer, b'tchila perotea kecheres. Before Yehoshua was in that place, so Enochinami didn't have a schus And the Peres used to be tough, like cheres, like pottery. And then after Yoshua came, it became so fertile that lebasov perotei masrichim. It was so juicy that it would rot very quickly because it was very, very full of moisture. Or, Ikeniyamri, that doesn't say just the opposite, the betchila masrichim, and that's not good because you want to be able to store the peres for a long time. Whereas lebasov kecheres, in the end, they were storable for a very long period. Okay, so Yoshua we see is al pi Hashem. How do we know it's b'mayit Kalev also? Because Kalev, dechtiv haitnu le Kalev et Chevron, kashe diber Moshe, vayorish b'shem et shlosha b'nei ha'anak. So apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it an avias that Kalev was supposed to take Chevron, and then he was the one who was zochet to get rid of the b'nei ha'anak originally in Chevron. That's the Gemara, how could Chevron possibly have been given to Kalev if Chevron was near Miklat Avoy? And no Ir Miklat was given to any individual. It was all given to Shevet Levi. Omer Abaye means that Kolev had the suburbs, the area around Kevron, and that's Beferish Pasik. Dichtiv v'et Sedeya Ir v'et Katsirea, the fields of Kevron, and the villages that were around it, the open Katsiras as opposed to the walled city, Natnula Kalev ben Yifune be'akuzato, that was what was given to Kalev. So in other words, the Pasuk itself ends up making it clear, even though it says it gave him Chevron, it means it gave him the area around Chevron. Now there's some very serious issues before we go further that need to be better explained here. The pshat that we just learned in the Gemara, where Eretz Yisrael was mischalik to Shvatim and the Karf of Gavre, is basically the way most of the Mefarshim here, including the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Ramban, the Rashbam. Now, if you take a look, however, in Rashi, in his Pirush on the Chumash itself, in Bamidbar, and even the Kafta Beferach also writes the same thing, as does the Ravid, that clearly a Shevet that had more people took according to the number of people that was in the Shevet. And right there, the Ramban asks how Rashi could write that if Lamaisa, the Gemara, ends up saying over here that it was definitely according to the Shevet that each Shevet took. And so, the Chora, what you have to say is that the Shaila that we have in the Gemara, according to these shitas, is not whether the Shvatim took the same size. The suffix was whether the Chalukah to the Shvatim was al pi goral, but afterwards all of the Chalukah was without a goral, or was there a goral? Or according to the Ravid, he talks about the Urim V'Tumim, was it Nogea even the Shvatim? And the Gemara brings a Raya that it was all in terms of the Shvat. But there was never a question that there would be an uneven Chalukah that would allow a chelek to be determined simply by the fact that it was a sheva. So this is one issue. Of course, this has a lot of implications. Look at the whole Yosef problem, where Yosef was tining. We saw earlier in the Gemara that the Gemara took for granted that the taina of Yosef would only make sense if there was a difference between the number of people that they had at the time of Yotzei Mitzrayim and the tremendous increase of 25,000 additional people. Keneged dekoy yezarecha. Whereas if, and the Rashbam points this out before, that if Lamaisa Yosef got the same size as everybody else, it has nothing to do with the machlokas of whether we go according to Yotzei Mitzrayim or we go according to the Nechasim Laretz. Because anyway, they would have tied it was unfair simply because the Shevet Yosef, which had the largest population, was given a similar size to the small population. So you'll have to say that the Gemara there didn't think of it. And according to Rashi, that would be no problem at all. There's two completely different issues. And there in the Pasuk, the Mashmaut is that the problem that Shevet Yosef has was the fact that they were unable to be Morish most of the area that was there. And the part up on the mountain was completely covered by forest and was something that was difficult for them to farm. So these are all things that need to be taken into consideration very carefully when one is learning the sugya of the Nachlis in Yoshua. But another very, very surprising sugya is the way the Rashbam learns over here that La'atid Lavo, that Shevet Levi is going to get a chelek, and that Menashe and Ephraim will take a chelek echad. Now this does not make any sense. I mean, first of all, it doesn't make any sense because it's an Isser D'Oraisa. And this the Menachas Chinuch talks about. There is no way that Mashiach could change a mitzvah that Torah. Eila mitzvah means that I don't care who it is. There's no difference. These things cannot be changed, and therefore it's impossible to say that Levi would get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, And the Shita brings that it's a Beferesh Pasuk in Yecheskel, that the Shneim Asar Shiftei Yisrael, with Yosef getting two Chavalim. So you see that Yosef gets two Chalokim, and that's exactly what it says in the Targum Yonasan there. Even Latid Lavo, this is in Yecheskel. Not only that, it says Beferish, Gvul Menashe Echad, and then it says Val Gvul Menashe Gvul Ephraim. So you see that they're two separate Chalokim. Furthermore, Taina's the Shita, that the Raya, Shar Levi, which everybody's relying on here, what's like Tash Bram, Shar Levi Echad, Shar Yosef Echad, has nothing to do with, really, with Nachal, as I pointed out before. It's referring only to the Sha'arim of Yerushalayim, which indeed were 12 Sha'arim connected to 12 Shifti Yisrael. Lagabi that, of course, Yosef is considered to be one Shevet because Levi is considered to be a Shevet. And indeed, Levi, it's clear, was given cities there, the same way he was given cities in Yecheskel. And that was part of the Trumas HaKadosh. And that's the same way they were given cities in the original Yerusha. That should be for their usage, but that doesn't have a din of a Nachala. Therefore, this whole story, according to many, is not true. That there was 12, but it's not the same 12 that were there, plus the Nas. So this, too, is a very important machlokas that one should consider carefully, which we'll get to, Bezrat Hashem, in our parak of the Nachi Yomit when we get to Yecheskel. Now to continue. Nazok the Eilike Mishnah. Echad ha-ben v'echad ha-bat b'nachala, which doesn't seem to make sense. Both a son and a daughter are the same when it comes to Nachala. That's certainly not true. And the next piece makes even less sense. Ela shaben notel pishnayim b'nichsei av, ve'inon notel pishnayim b'nichsei aim. When you hear Ela, you expect to hear a difference between the ben and the bat. Instead, what you hear is a difference between the ben who takes a chelik b'chor of pishnayim in his father's chelik, and not pishnayim in his mother's chelik, which has nothing to do with the opening statement of the Mishnah. Ve'abanot nizonot b'nichsei av, ve'inan nizonot b'nichsei aim. And another difference, which of course is not a difference either, between the ben and the bat, is that a bat has a support now, until the time that they get married, from the father's estate, but they don't have such support from mezaines, from the mother's estate, which again, does not make any sense in terms of this Ella at all. So now we need to understand, says the Gemara, what exactly is the meaning of the first statement in the Mishnah? And, naturally, whatever meaning we supply is going to have to fit with the but that follows. So ask the Gemara, what did the Mishnah mean by saying, "My echad ha-ben ve'echad ha-bat l'nachala"? Certainly, you're not trying to say that Ben and Bat have equal rights to a Yerusha. I mean, that's beferish, not like that. Atanan, Ben kodem l'bat. And not only Ben is Kodim Labat, but Ko Yotzei Yerechosha Ben Kodmim Labat, even a great-great-grandson of a Ben is going to come before the Bat. So that can't be what the Mishnah is saying. So now we're going to have four explanations with a simon. The simon is Nafsham. Nafsham stands for the Mandiomrim that say this Pshat. So the Nun stands for Reb Nachman by Yitzchak. Reb Nachman by Yitzchak says, Achikama, Echad HaBen v'Echad HaBat, both of them, of course, the bat only where there's no bunny. But both of them get a chelik of Yerusha b'ra'ui kibemuchza. So whether it was actually in the reshus of the father at the time that he died, or whether it comes in afterwards, it still is going to go directly to the heir, whether that heir is a zocher in a cave, as the case may be, after it actually comes in. So let's say that he's owed money, or that someone is meirish to him, after, let's say, his own father dies, and while he's dead, so that money also goes through the father to his heirs. Says the Gemara, why would we need that to be in the Mishnah? That can't be the Pshat, because that's a Beferish Mishnah. In the Mishnah before, Hanami Tanina Benot Slofchad, Natlu Shlosha Chalakim Benachala. And what did they take? They took Chelek Avihem, Shayayi Yotze Mitzrayim, so they took Slofchad's Chelek, and they took his Chelek Imechav Nichse Chefer. So even though Tzlavcha died before Khefer, I mean, otherwise there's nothing to discuss there because he'd already been Yorish, so they weren't taking Khefer, they were just taking directly from Tzlavcha. So clearly, Tzlavcha died before Khefer. So the Mishnah is coming to tell me that there was also a Yerusha of the Chelik of Khefer, which is basically Yeroi Kibemulzak. So that would mean that this Mishnah would be completely unnecessary. because that is exactly this halacha, that after Tzlavcha died, and he wasn't yet in possession of Chayfer's property, and then Chayfer died, that nonetheless the children got it. So that means that they're Yorish, not to mention the fact that Reb Nachum Yitzchak's approach leaves us hanging, because it still doesn't make any sense at all out of the Ella. Because the Ella is unrelated to the first statement. What do you mean? Except that the son gets a double chelek, and a daughter, and the father, and not from the mother, instead of saying the difference between a son and a daughter. I mean, it doesn't help in the least. Ella comes along now, the second, and this is the pay of the nafsham, Rav Papa. Yalom Rav Papa, I'll tell you what it means. In the case where there's no sons, so then even the bot takes a chelek bechora. So if the father, such as the case of Tzlavcha, was a bechor, so then the grandfather who was chefer dies, then even the bas takes the chelek bechora from the father that he would have had. Does the Gemara understand? But that's also included in the first Mishnah. Hanami Tanina. Vishaya Bechor. Tzlavchad was a Bechor, and that gave Benos Tzlavchad an additional chelek. So that means we already know that a daughter gets the chelek of the Bechorah through her father. Not to mention the fact that Rav Papa doesn't help in the least when it comes to explaining the Ella. So va'od my Ella. I mean, the nafkamina between the Nichseav and Nichseaim has nothing to do with the Ben and the Bat, even according to Rav Papa. So that doesn't make sense. Okay, comes along now Rav Ashi, so that's the shin of the nafsham, and he says, Hachikama, Echad ben habanim, the Echad bat ben habanot, that in a case where somebody is giving out their last will and testament, and he wants to give one of the sons when there are other sons, or he wants to give one of the daughters where there are no sons, as opposed to the other daughters, and he wants to say that that particular child should get the entire Yerusha, imamar yirash kol nechasai dvarav kayamim. So what the Mishnah is saying, that as long as the person that he's giving the Yerusha to was one that was supposed to be getting the Yerusha, and now all he wants to do is to give more to that individual, and not give to everyone that was supposed to get the Yerusha. We'll see later on that this is a big machlokas. But since it says in the Pasuk, Vayah b'yom hanchilo et banav, so it's shayach to choose among the sons which one should be the one that gets the nachala. But you can't give a bat, let's say, when there are banim, or you can't give achim when there are banot, but it's that first generation. So therefore, it's coming to say is that the bain and the bat are exactly the same when it comes to the din of Vayah b'yom hanchilo et banav. That they have to be in line for Yerusha in order to be the ones that are going to get, and there's no way to take away from the ben or the bat to someone who's not permitted to be Yerush. Okay, so that's what you want to say. So tell me, come on, who would that be going according to? That's only the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, right? The thing is that the Mishnah says the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka later. Okay, Tani Lele Kaman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Imamar al Mishra Uil Yosho, Dvarav Kayami, that even though he can't change the Yerusha by saying that let my daughter be Yorish me when there's a son, or he says, let my brother be Yorish me when there's a daughter, that's not good. But if he chooses one of the daughters when there's only daughters, one of the sons, then between the sons, that he can do. So it has to be Misha Roi Liyosho. But if he says it on Misha No Roi Liyosho, there ain't Varav Kayami. So what would be the point of listing this in this Mishnah when the Mishnah is going to explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka later? V'chitemen, maybe you'll say that the reason that the Mishnah says this is because it wants to be a Stam Mishnah, Alibi Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So because Sosan Lantana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that wouldn't make any sense, because it wouldn't be a good Stam to tell us the machlokas, because it would be a Stam v'achakach machloketi. V'stam v'achakach machloket ain't halacha k'stam. So what would be the point of mentioning the Stam where it's not going to help us to tell me that the halacha is like him? And even if you'll tell me that that's not such a problem, and maybe l'chatchila, the Tana actually had a stamish like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and then went ahead and realized that it's a machlokas and halakas not like that, and Mishnah lo yizazami mekayma, which is often happens, it still doesn't make any sense to say what Ravashi said because of the other problem. Same problem we've had along. The Ella makes no sense. The Od, my Ella. You're telling me a difference between the Yerusha of the Av and the Yerusha of the Bein with the Ella. You're not telling me the difference between a Bein and a Bat. So you haven't helped a single bit when it comes to the Ella, Rav Ashi. Therefore, we come now to the Mem, who is Marba Rav Ashi. Ella Amar Marba Rav Ashi, Arki Kama. What the Mishnah is saying is, Echad HaBein ve'Echad HaBat Shavim B'Nichsei Ha'im u'V'Nichsei Ha'av. That both a son and a daughter have all of the same dinim when it comes to the death of a father or the death of a mother. So that there's the same dinim of inheriting an av as there are of inheriting an aim, which means that we're really looking at the chelik of the av and the aim, not the bein and the bat be'ikar. Therefore, we can say there is, however, a difference between an av and an aim. Then the Ella, in fact, is exactly what we were talking about. So it leaves it to you to figure out. And when we say Yechad HaBen VeYechad HaBat Shavin, meaning Shavin in all inheritances, Ava Aim, except there's a difference between Ava Aim, in that there's no din of Bechaira, and in that the Bat, that's in terms of a Bein, and that the Bat is not going to be able to get now her Parnasa till she's married from the Chelik of the Aim.